The following video contains graphic language. Yes, we are going to actually be going over some movies by a filmmaker that is known for some of the greatest dick and fart jokes you can imagine. So if you're under the age of 18 or your parents don't like you watching things that deal with, you know, sex, drugs, alcohol, rock and roll, all the good fun stuff in the world, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, we don't deal with kids. Snooch to the nooch.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to LRM Ranks It. I'm Kyle Malone, and I'm joined today with...
Nick Dahl. I'm back for the fourth time.
Yay,
it's a quadrilogy of Nick.
Yes, and hopefully many more to come, right?
I hope so. We got one planned.
Alrighty. Yes, we got another one planned. So you guys know what we do here. We take franchises from films. We take individual movies that might have similarities. Hell, we've even done a ranked video where we ranked costumes. And two of us writers there at LRMonline.com discuss why we rank these films in whatever order that we rank them at. Make sure you guys hit that like and subscribe. Make sure you check out all of our previous videos. You can find those down below. And we're going to get into the View Askewniverse. Did I say that right? View Askewniverse? Or is
View
it Askewniverse? View Askewniverse?
I don't think
something like that.
It.
Yeah.
It's just View Askewniverse, baby.
Yes, maybe. Who
the
knows?
Original universe.
Anyways. Yes. The original universe. Something that started way, way, way long ago in the 90s. Believe it or not, in black and white.
Ooh.
So, for those of you that don't know what View Askew is, it is a production company, and it is the company owned by, or at least at one time point, was owned by Kevin Smith. I'm not sure what the current status is of it, but Kevin Smith, the guy known as Silent Bob, who gave us movies in the View Askewverse, you know, like Clerks, Chasing Amy, Dogma, and so on, that's what we're going to be ranking today. What we're not going to be ranking is movies that Jay and Silent Bob were in but aren't part of that universe. We're not going to be touching Zack and Miri, No Jersey Girl, none of that outside stuff. Basically from Clerks 1 to Clerks 2 and those movies in between. No Tusk, no Red State, although those were great movies.
And they're
did you see any
different
of those?
Yeah, I like Tusk. I couldn't finish Red State. Maybe
really?
Too uncomfortable.
It is an uncomfortable movie. You want to talk about uncomfortable and talk about a movie that is in relation to Kevin Smith and some of his other characters. Have you ever seen Vulgar?
No, I want to because I used to love Brian Johnson.
So. Oh, my God. You have to be in a seriously good state of mind to watch Vulgar. It is not for the faint of heart. So, yeah. If you're going to watch that movie, make sure you've had like the best day of your entire life because it is going to bring you down. I mean, down low. So we're not touching any of those movies. Like I said, we're going from Clerks to Clerks 2 and primary movies in between. Nick, I'm sure given what you're wearing that you're obviously and the fact that you wanted to do this with me, that you're obviously a huge Kevin Smith fan. Why don't you tell everybody a little bit about what your experience with the View Askewverse Kevin Smith films has been in life.
Okay. Well, I never saw one until 2006 when Clerks 2 came out. 2005. In fact, that was the first one I saw was Clerks 2. I had a sleepover party. I was still doing that in late high school where the friends just come over and play video games all night.
That's not rare. That's not weird. I had friends. It's not so much a sleepover as people are coming over to play video games, potentially partake in activities that are for people over 21, and then you just kind of don't go home. So
yeah, they were still sleepovers. Yeah. I think in our case because we didn't get into any of the 21 activities because we were losers in high school.
God, you're such a loser.
Yeah. So we were going to see Lady in the Water. We decided instead the last minute to see Clerks 2, and my life's been different ever since. I went on to Mallrats, Clerks, watched all that. When An Evening with Kevin Smith came out, I started listening to every single one of his podcasts, starting with Smodcast the week it came out. For years, all I did was listen to all of his podcasts. So when I lived in LA, Kevin Smith was my best friend because I didn't have a lot of – all my friends were still at school in Orange County. So I was walking or driving anywhere, I had Kevin Smith in my ear. So – big fan. I've bought stuff from his art gallery shows in LA, his Smodcast shows, and yeah, just kind of, you know, I like a lot of the things he says, and he has lots of wise words to live by, like, just do it, just make this video we're making right now.
So. Yep, yep. I actually saw Mallrats was the first one that I saw. Probably too young to have seen it, but I still saw it. I saw Dogma in 99. I saw both Mallrats and Dogma before I got around to seeing Clerks 1. I didn't see Clerks 1 until freshman year of high school. I thoroughly enjoyed Mallrats. I thought it was a blast. I thought it was hilarious. Dogma was such a thinker. It really was. I'm not Catholic, but definitely some of the philosophical and theological thought bombs that go off in that movie were great to ponder, even in middle school, freshman year of high school for myself. Some of my best memories of Kevin Smith, besides seeing some of these movies with friends, sharing them with my wife for the first time, who's a huge fan as well, was seeing him at San Diego Comic-Con in 2007 and 8. I didn't see him host his own panel in 07. Instead, he moderated the Battlestar Galactica panel. It was like the last big panel before that reimagining series ended. The last big panel for San Diego that they were going to do. And Kevin Smith was the guest moderator there. And it was a blast. It was very cool. It was the first time that I'd ever seen Kevin in person. And then in 2008, he had his own in Hall H. Me and my buddy Brian stayed there to see that. Our buddy Larry, he went off to see something. I don't know. We saw the Iron Man 2 trailer and Kevin Smith there in Hall H in 2008, which was pretty cool. That was the year he was talking about his wife was a big Twilight fan, and somebody had made bags or something out of Twilight stuff, and the guy brought up something, gave it to Kevin Smith because his wife had made it, and he's like, here, give this to your wife. Anyways, Kevin invited the dude to sit up on the stage for the rest of the show and would like occasionally walk behind and massage his shoulders and stuff while just talking. It was absolutely hilarious. So it's pretty cool. That's some of my memories with Kevin Smith.
Let me edit mine real quick. I forgot Jay and Silent Bob was the first one I saw because it was the most mainstream, most famous one, you know, like, it's, remember the advertising, but it didn't make any sense until I'd seen the other films.
Yeah.
And I also saw Kevin Smith live once, his first Hollywood improv show with Scott Mosier for Smodcast, which didn't record properly. So I'm one of the only people who heard it, but interesting. Yeah. Cause I always dreamed of seeing him and that was my one chance.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, let's go ahead and get into it. We'll actually strike that, reverse it. Let's plug a little bit here. Everybody knows that me and Nick are contributors, writers there at lrmonline.com. Make sure you guys go check out the website. We do news pieces every day. There's opinion pieces all the time. And Nick, I believe you got something that happens a couple times a week.
Yep, that's right. Breaking Geek. Usually try to do an average of 3 times a week. But sometimes I'll put it off and do a bunch 1 week. We have discussions. Kyle's on a lot. Written discussions. And I just talk about whatever the fuck I want to talk about. So,
myself, I've got the Cantina. It's a weekly Star Wars column. It's out on Thursdays, as well as these LRM Ranks It videos, which also come out on Thursdays. And there's also something that I participate in, and I want to plug for another contributor, Stefan White, the I'd Buy That for a Dollar series, also on YouTube, and the website comes out on Tuesday. So make sure you guys check those out.
And we're also on Los Fanboys, the podcast.
Yes, quite a bit, podcast. Thank you. The boss was going to get mad at me if I had forgotten that. Los Fanboys podcast on Fridays. So make sure you guys go and check all that stuff out. And Jammer, cut the check. All right. So let's go ahead and get into it. Nick, as always, being my guest, I'll let you start with your number 6 because there are 6 films. In no particular order, we've got Clerks and Clerks 2, Chasing Amy, Mallrats, Dogma, and Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, right? So go ahead and hit your number 6.
All right. Clerks 2. Just...
What?
Right. Weird. It's
just... Oh, my God.
It's just... I don't know. It's the end of the list of all these. It's the... I don't know. I don't like modern Kevin Smith as much as classic Kevin Smith. It's kind of missing a lot of the feels. Lots of cameos, which is great to see everyone... But it's just
I might have to walk off set.
It's just,
now hold on. Let me ask you this. I don't want to cut it too much, but the way I kind of looked at this is I looked at these movies as, yeah, we're ranking them
the order from, I want to watch it.
From, well, yeah, yeah, but to me they're all great. It's kind of like ranking, it's kind of like ranking orgasms. Like even the lowest orgasm you still fucking came,
oh,
right?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay.
Multiple
okay.
times.
Just making sure it wasn't like Clerks 2 sucks, you know. Fuck no. Clerks, cuz I would like tip the camera over. Anyways,
no, this
go
is
ahead,
the
continue.
Strongest thing we've ranked yet together where there's not really a bad one in the bunch, unlike Spider-Man okay. and Batman. And, but yeah, Clerks 2 is just, I don't know. Or great parts, okay horses. Goodbye horses, that's right. With Jay tucking it back. But it's just,
yes, it's the tuck dance.
Yeah, even just adding color just loses a little bit of the Clerksness.
Okay. I definitely have Clerks 2 a hell of a lot higher than that. I can see where some people feel like it was a little overdone. To me, I guess reason why I like it so much is it was better than it should have been.
By all means,
that movie should have sucked. Like, of all the movies, excuse me, Kevin could have done a sequel to, Clerks should have sucked. Like, it really, Clerks 2 should have sucked. Yeah, it's in color. Excuse me, but I had some Coca-Cola. It's gas. Sorry about that. It's perfect for this video. I should be burping louder. Anyways, It's better than it should have been. He had a great story to actually tell, and I can't wait to discuss a little bit on why it's so much higher on my list. Did you have any issue? Was there anything that you absolutely hated about the movie?
No, not really.
Okay.
I guess my least favorite part is Kevin Smith casting his wife in that one. She's not really as good as the rest. Not to insult Miss Schwalbach, but she's I don't know. She's not as solid as the other. The rest of them are all real actors by that point, except for Dante and Randall, who are just good at playing those characters.
Brian O'Halloran and Jeff Anderson.
Yeah, and Kevin
right?
Smith,
yeah.
Who's a terrible actor, but perfect as Silent Bob. So,
I'll save it for when we get to it on my list. So that's not too bad. Number six, like I said, these movies are all just, they're great. So if your favorite movie out there is low on the list, that doesn't mean it was bad. Like I said, it's like ranking orgasms. You still had one, so it's good to go. So number six for me is going to be Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. Yeah, it's pretty low on the list. Yep. It was the fourth film I think I saw, because I saw Mallrats and I saw Dogma, then I saw Clerks. Yeah, and then Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, because I saw that right around the time it actually came out. And it's a hilarious movie, don't get me wrong. It's got live-action cartoon parts with the Scooby-Doo stuff. It's hilarious. Forever and ever, I will occasionally call my wife Boo Boo Kitty Fuck just to be funny. And no seriousness at all. The Clit Commander scene is still one of the funniest things Kevin Smith's ever been involved in.
With
I'm not
John
quite
Stewart.
Sure. Yes. I'm not quite sure how much Jay was given just free rein or if the improvisation of that scene or whatnot, but it's hilarious. Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, though, doesn't have as much story to me. And it's an incredibly enjoyable film, but I really like how a lot of Kevin's films make you think. You know what I'm saying? And there's no thought with Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. It's just a blast of a movie. But because there's nothing to really think about, you just kind of go along for the story. I kind of put it down low on the list. What do you think about that?
I don't know. It's a different type of story, I guess I would say. It's very much... It's the Avengers of, not saying quality wise, but of necessarily of.
If you can hear
Kevin
my dog
Smith
barking,
films.
I'm sorry.
What it's like where they all finally, like, come together, you know, like all the characters are in it again.
Yeah.
Kind of like what I complained about in Clerks, where there's too many there's too many cameos, but in a good way. And it's very much a live action cartoon that's just kind of more payoff and wacky than it is. Yeah, like you said, insightful. So I wouldn't disagree with that.
Yeah. Very cool, man. Well, hey, let's go ahead and continue on with the list, and let's get to number five, Nick.
I think our lists are going to be very different.
Maybe, which is a good
five,
thing. I like it when they're different.
This is going to be the most... So far, neither of us have said blasphemy, necessarily, in overall fans' eyes. Chasing Amy is my second least favorite.
And now that's blasphemy.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. This is the blasphemy I was teasing.
Oh, God.
It's good. Again, it's another orgasm, you know, like, but it's not 5 out of 5 orgasms. You know what I'm saying?
It wasn't the, like, holding on to the edge of the bed, like, shaking type. Yeah, okay,
it's almost, I think one of the reasons it's my least favorite is it's, I like Kevin's, I mean, it's hilarious. It's absolutely hilarious. Mm-hmm. The tracer thing. You're a fucking tracer.
You're a tracer.
The telling the sex, like, scar stories about, like, being dragged by a car.
Yes.
Like, well, going down on someone or, like, getting knocked in the tooth. I mean, it's full of great, great Kevin Smith stuff. I love the, I don't know the name of the black actor, but that character, the comic book author who acts like a really tough Hooper. Black guy and he's gay. Yeah. Where he's like about to and they have a little conversation. He's like, don't you
I'll
bring
kill
up this-
every white motherfucker I lay my eyes on.
And he's like, don't you.
Black rage.
He's like, white guys always jump to the sacred trilogy. He's like,
yep.
The whole Lando conversation where he's like, Lando was a. He says something I probably can't say. but yeah, I mean, it's a fun, it's, but then that's going to my point. I think it's also his most serious film in the View Askewverse. And I kind of like to, it almost, it's good. Again, it's good serious. It really makes you think. It's a little bit of like nerd, like geek fantasy for Kevin Smith of like, oh, you can turn a gay woman straight for at least a little bit. Which, It's a very, very, like, progressive movie for its time. Because it was he was addressing these things from a real perspective when people wouldn't make these kind of movies in the 90s. At least not in that realm.
Didn't he write it in relation to, I think it was his brother who had recently come out of the closet? And his brother's, like, I think I remember hearing someone in Kevin Smith's family, I want to say it was his brother,
yeah,
maybe
his brothers,
not.
I think.
Yeah, had recently come out, or he had been inspired by that, by people coming out of the closet, by people dealing with homosexuality in their lives, kind of inspired him to write the story. So it's definitely a personal story for him on some level. Yeah,
absolutely. And yeah, I mean, again, it's a good movie. It's just, it's lower on my list because it's less wacky.
I can see that. Although, the whole scene discussing Archie comics is one of my favorite scenes in a Kevin Smith film at all. I absolutely love that. Here's a dollar. Go buy yourself a Clue. I love that movie. Oh, dear God. Yeah, our lists might be very, very different. Continue. Any last words on that before we get to it on my list?
Lastly, I mean, we'll probably talk about these two actors a lot, but Jason Lee and Ben Affleck are always a treat. And I forgot that Matt Damon was in that movie until I rewatched it.
Yes, yes. Him and Brian O'Halloran as the executives.
Yeah. And then, of course,
looking to do the Blunt Man Chronic cartoon or movie or show. Yeah.
And it's a much less cool cameo because he wasn't really a star. All even less of a star than them at the time. But I'm going to say also behind Scott Mosier, who accuses him of being a tracer in the beginning, is young Affleck, Casey Affleck.
Yes,
it's just a random guy behind him. He's like, you want to really have this guy sign your comic? He's just a fucking tracer, man.
Oh, God, I love that. It is so great. I think once my son, he had an activity book, and there's tracing pages of a Star Wars activity book, and one of them's got tracing pages, and you trace the picture behind it, and he was tracing it. It's like, look at you tracer.
Fucking tracer.
Of course, he didn't get it, but the wife laughed, which is the important part. So, my number 5, and this might be blasphemy for you, is Mallrats. Yes, Mallrats was the first movie I saw of Kevin Smith's, and I can actually remember, I don't remember which comics they were, probably Marvel given the Stan Lee cameo in it, but I used to have comics with Magic Eye on the back of it, and it was Mallrats. It was a Mallrats advertisement done in Magic Eye because of the infamous sailboat scene, and this is kind of an aside. I am unnaturally good at Magic Eye. In the Kevin Smith film Mallrats, it most definitely is not a fucking sailboat. It's a schooner. I don't remember what it was, but no, it's not a boat at all. I think it's just some random shapes. It's not a vehicle of any sort. So shame on you, Kevin Smith. You could have gotten a goddamn sailboat, well, magic eye.
I didn't know because I've never seen one of those in my life. I'm like Willem. I've never had one work in my life.
Yeah, my mom was huge on them in the 90s, and she had the books. I don't know if we saw it at a doctor's office or something, but she ended up buying the books. We got a computer program, a CD-ROM, where you could go through art galleries of Magic Eye and do them on the computer. And they even had moving ones. It was images that moved, and I was the only person that could do them. My mom would be like up on the computer screen, eyes crossed, backing up, and I'd just like walk up behind her and be like, oh, it's a teddy bear. Woman with a stick. That's a ball. That's a hockey puck. That's a football. It's a scooter. Like, it just goes through them. It's ridiculous. Anyways, so Mallrats. Mallrats is hilarious. The running gag of doing somebody in a very uncomfortable place is hilarious.
Like the back of a Volkswagen?
Like the back of a Volkswagen. The whole truth or date scene at the end is amazing. I've got the Criterion edition, so I've seen the alternate opening. I'm glad he went with the regular opening that most people know. It's a blast of a film. Jay and Silent Bob, I think that's some of the best that they've ever been. I actually like their characters better in that one, with LaForge playing their foil, than I do even Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, which is why it's above it. It's a lot of fun. I don't know, man. It's just, again, it's one of those that doesn't really make you think as much. It's one of those less thoughtful movies. It's a blast. And that's why I put it at number 5.
Well, I will say that looking at it objectively, looking at it as far as quality of his films, it's definitely his worst made, I'm not saying least enjoyable, but maybe worst made film because it's been sliced to hell by the studio.
Right, which is hilarious because they gave him so much money. That's how you got the crane shots and the big 3D spin around and everything like that. There was another movie, I think it's Paul Blart with, it had some sort of throwback to Mallrats with the toy store, and Paul Blart mall cop is called Buy Me Toys. I think that's it. But yeah, there's another movie that has a Buy Me Toys in it. I'll say that I'm sure we'll touch on Mallrats a little bit later. Actually, I know we will because you haven't said it yet. I love the Stan Lee cameo. I absolutely do. And the questions that Jason Lee's character, Brody, has for Stan are just hilarious. Absolutely great.
And it's just, he's so much younger. I mean, obviously, but it shocked me how young he was. And when I rewatched it yesterday again, I was like, wow.
And it's a great movie. It really is. The opening scene where he's talking about farting on his girlfriend while she's going down on him. Never do that. Whether you're male or female, going down on male or female, please don't fart on your partner.
I can't help it. When I get relaxed, I let it loose.
Even worse, he says the word squirt, which brings in like images of loose bowels. So, Nick, why don't you go ahead and continue us on with your number 4?
Blasphemy. Clerks. Clerks is at number 4.
As long as I could see some people being upset that it's not in the top 3, but I can respect that.
It's like I rewatched it like last night also. I mean, I've seen these movies all a million times, but this time I did rewatch every movie for this. I think we decided to do it like 3 days before we did this. So
we decided this week.
And it was actually better. I almost, rewatching it yesterday almost made me rework my list because I wrote the list before watching them because I already know my order. I just wanted to be more informed for references and stuff. Because it's still a fun movie. I remember it being more of a mess than it, because again, since it's early like Mallrats and Miramax had him do some snipping and he's also his first script, it's like, it's his most classic film. It changed the world the most. Like, it's part of that 90s, like, boom of independent film. It puts him on the same level as, like, he's, like, in the Tarantino Club. Like, they're best friends. They both were working for Miramax at the same time. For Weinstein, unfortunately. But, I don't know. It's good. Like I said, I love it. The Jay and Silent Bob, some of my favorite stuff's in that one. The, like, Berserker.
Yes.
My love for you is like a truck berserker.
I like that girl. Did he just say making fuck?
Yes. Or just like, I mean, not just like the Randall. Randall's one of the best characters in the universe. The View Askewiverse. I don't know. It does all work really well. And like, even when I was in film school, the professor would talk about it like, oh, and see, it works because it was shot like security camera footage. And it's like, Kevin Smith just didn't have enough money to shoot.
No.
He didn't have enough. Lighting was much harder in color and all. Yep. The film was cheaper, and they were like on 16 millimeter or something, I think. Or it's just,
what? Go ahead.
But I don't know. I love it, but it's another, like, it's a great orgasm. But again, like, it doesn't hold. It's a classic, but it's not necessarily the most enjoyable one to rewatch.
Well, I was going to say, what is it? Because I noticed similar, you mentioned a college teacher or a professor that's looking too far into the movie, you know?
It happens a lot.
What is it with certain people that try to overanalyze or over-philosophize or whatever, they try to overthink a movie? And music the same way. I've heard of music teachers that are like, they'll get onto somebody that's playing an instrument, and I play bass. You guys can see a couple of my basses sitting behind me here. I don't play it right at all. I've been told that, you know, if I did this or that, I could play faster or I could do whatever, but it makes the sounds that I hear in my head come out, and that's music to me. And this was Kevin's movie, and to be like, oh, I'm reading this into it, and this is why. No, the dude wanted to make a movie, so he fucking made a movie, you know? And that's an inspiration to so many of us. I know you dabbled in filmmaking. I may or may not have dabbled in filmmaking, and may or may not have aspirations to dabble again if I had done once. But it's an inspiration because he did it all, you know, as much as he could on his own. He tried to George Lucas it, you know? And he did a great job with it. He really did. So fuck all you professors that are like, there's a right way and a wrong way to do art. There's not. As long as the final product is what you saw in your head or heard in your head, that's fucking art, man. We can go ahead and continue to talk about this movie because I committed blasphemy as well, and Clerks is my number four as well. So we can spend a couple more moments on it. It's a cool film. It does a lot of really good things. And it has some of the worst acting ever. Choppy lines. Very, very choppy lines. But he was putting his friends and family in this movie.
In multiple roles.
Yeah, which is fine. He got this movie made. It's an instant classic. And 37 is one of those numbers whenever I see it. No matter what I see it on, the first thing that pops in my mind, I just destroyed half the universe. anything that comes on my mind is 37 dicks. My girlfriend just sucked 37 dicks. What, in a row? You know?
I'm 37?
And try not to suck any dick on your way to the parking lot. It's absolutely ridiculous, man. I love it. I love it. It's a great movie. But because there are better films out there, it does kind of suffer, and it gets stuck kind of in the middle of the deck.
And it's sad because I watched Mallrats first when we were watching it, because I'm going for the references. Like, of course, they meant my cousin Walter is in both of them, which I guess makes Dante and Brody related. They both talk about their cousin Walter.
I think so.
And there's other like you hear, there are lots of names that match up in those.
Yes.
Even going forward to Chasing Amy, there's a lot of callbacks to
Bree something. I can't remember her last name.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She's got references in Mallrats, Clerks, and Chasing
Amy.
And
then the girl who dies in the pool is referenced in two of the, maybe I think all three of them also. And then, yeah, like they talk about, even Chasing Amy, you get the how sad it worked out. I watched Chasing Amy and Mallrats and then came back to this. I think they reference it in Chasing Amy, how she's still in a mental institution. Like, Randall almost gets the girl he wants, and then she fucks the dead guy in the bathroom who died jerking off.
God.
Because the lights don't work after 5:35 or whatever.
Yep. Such a... And you got to give it up to Kevin. His mind thinks in a way where he can hold on to pieces of information that you drop at the beginning, and the payoff is not until the end.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of films, the line is fairly short from setup to payoff. And Kevin, man, you could be like set up here, and then you're going all like this to get payoff behind it. And yeah. it's ridiculous. I love it. Absolutely. It's good stuff. So, yep, both of us have Clerks at number four. So let's go ahead and get into our top three. These are, now we're getting into the bed shaking, eyes closed, eyes rolling behind the skull, orgasms of movies. So let's go ahead and go with it. Nick, your number three, Kevin Smith, View Askewniverse, View Askewniverse film.
Hallelujah. It's Dogma. Dogma's a top three for sure. I did grow up Catholic. I'm no longer Catholic, but I grew up Catholic.
Legitimately blasphemy.
Exactly. Oh, I commit blasphemy every day probably, but I don't know, it's definitely I mean, Jay and Silent Bob is weird too, but it's definitely the weirdest one. My roommate and I actually had an argument about it, and he thinks it's the worst Kevin Smith movie out of the six because he says Jerk. It doesn't age well.
And age is great.
And he says it's more of a cartoon than Jay and Silent Bob, because I like to compliment Jay and Silent Bob that way. And he's like, yeah, but like, it's more of a cartoon. Like, with, I'm like, in a way, all Kevin Smith movies. Mallrats is a bit of a, like, Jay and Silent Bob bring with them the cartoon moments. Yeah. Whether it's a sound effect, or in this movie, pushing Ben Affleck and that Loki and Bartleby out of a train, being like, no ticket. In reference to Indiana Jones.
And a giant poop monster.
The giant poop monster, which I used to go to. It was after Brian Johnson left, and they combined the Jay and Silent Bob secret stash in L.A. with a video rental store, a video purchase store, which is like the best video store in L.A. too. And the back section was just Jay and Silent Bob stuff, where I bought like shirts and stuff. And then they also had like, they had some memorabilia behind glass, like the poop monster and Bartleby's wings, like the full set of wings, and it was pretty cool. But I don't know, Dogma is just, it's obviously, maybe, in fact, I'd say it's his most thinky movie. You know, just thinking it, like, I don't know, because it very much does get into religion and theology, you know, all of that stuff from a really weird, funny perspective, whether it be the aliens not have, I mean, angels not having any private parts at all and being like a Ken doll. And whatnot, but I don't know. And just it might have the best cast of any Kevin Smith film. I think when you got Alan Rickman, Jason Lee is the villain, which is pretty cool.
Yes,
I mean, obviously you got Ben Affleck and Matt Damon shooting this when they win the Oscar for Good Will Hunting.
It's like, and this, that their introduction at the airport is just great. Absolutely love it.
The best parts in this movie are always whenever they're having a deep discussion with each other, or
the boardroom scene.
Boardroom scene where they're carrying out one of their discussions.
I don't believe in voodoo, but I do believe in this. It's great. Absolutely love it.
And at the end, and he's like, "You're pure of heart," but he's like, "But you didn't say God bless you when I sneeze."
And it's great. This is where me and you actually agree twice. Dogma is my number three as well. It is a great thinking movie. I am not, nor was I ever Catholic, but I have some Catholic friends. And this movie to me never once was like when I think it was the Catholic League themselves that were protesting this movie. And Kevin Smith talks about in a few of his discussion Evening with Kevin Smith stuff, people protesting this, and it there's nothing in this movie that I honestly feel is really anti-Christian or anti-Catholic. It just makes people think. There's a line in there that Serendipity has, you know, about Catholics, saying that they don't celebrate their religion, they mourn it. And there's a lot of Catholic people I know that have seen that movie, and they're like, yes, we do. We mourn our religion. And that movie made them think about their religion and reevaluate it. Not necessarily take them away from God or Christ, but just change their outlook that they had, because it was a view from, even though Kevin Smith was raised Catholic himself, it was still an outsider's point of view. And the movie does, it makes you think a lot. And I absolutely love it. And even people that aren't Catholic, there's a lot of stuff that deals with Christianity in general that can make you think about certain things.
It's probably the most wickedly dark film too. Just having her working in an abortion clinic and like stuff like that.
The whole thing, like, they're talking about at the abortion clinic, she's like, you don't know any better. You killed Jesus. And she's like, no, we already used that excuse or something like that with Janine Garofalo. It is a very dark, funny movie. But again, some of the things that it makes you think about is the Metatron, Alan Rickman's line where he's like, you know, I had to tell Jesus, dude, you're going to go through hell. You're going to live a life of persecution before you're going to be freaking beaten and crucified. I have to tell this to a 12-year-old boy. You know, how messed up is that? And for people that are of faith, that's one of those things where it should make you think, you know? It's a great movie, though. It's freaking hilarious. Mm-hmm. Like we mentioned, the boardroom scene is great. The holy bartender with with Jason Lee's character Azrael is awesome. Even the whole, I always love this, love the scene with Chris Rock and Jay and Bob. And Jay's like, tell me something nobody knows. And he's like, you masturbate more than anybody on the planet. He's like, everybody knows that. Tell me something nobody else knows. When you're doing it, you're thinking about guys. And you see Kevin's just like,
silent Bob.
It's just a hilarious movie. I absolutely love it. So it's pretty cool that me and you both have it in our top three. Any last words on Dogma?
For a second, I had something. Oh, yeah. George Carlin, of course. Thanks. This is the first one
yes.
he's in, right?
Cardinal Glick. Yes.
And, of course, Buddy Christ. So, love it. I love the introduction of Catholicism now and the Buddy Christ. We made Jesus more friendly for the new generation.
Yes. He didn't come here to give us the willies. It's great. Yeah. And like I said, I think everybody that's ever sat there and been like, this movie is bad and anti-Christian or anti-Catholic, they've probably never seen it.
Did you know that Kevin Smith was in the picket line? In Jersey?
Yes.
And then they interviewed him on TV.
Yes. And the interviewer was all weirded out because she thought she recognized him, but she kind of rolled with it anyways. Yeah.
He told her he was. Yeah. And he's like, yeah, this is terrible that they made this movie. Watch. It's on YouTube. It's hilarious.
Yes. I remember him talking about it in one of his Evening With videos. I don't think I've ever seen the actual video, though.
It's on YouTube.
Though,
so I've watched or one of his special features. I've seen it somewhere.
Good stuff. So let's go ahead and continue on with number two, Nick.
Number two. Got to go with the Rats. Mallrats.
Mallrats.
I own when I got on Blu-ray the 1990s Best of the Decade collection. Though on the inside, it's normal. It has the longer cut, too. All these. My Clerks one also has the other Clerks cut. And all that good stuff. And they're all Criterion. I don't know. It's funny that most of these were I didn't know Mallrats was Criterion on. Is it Blu-ray then? Because I know Clerks was...
I'm not sure. I had it on DVD. Okay, Chasing Amy and
Chasing
Clerks,
Amy
Criterion.
Was Criterion on DVD, too. Yeah. But I love Mallrats. It's not a good movie, but I love it. Brody is absolutely my favorite Kevin Smith character besides J.R. Silent Bob. I know he's based very closely on the real-life Walt, not Cousin Walt, but Walter Flanagan, whose name pops up heavily in all these movies from the Flanagan Con or whatever, and Chasing Amy to... And of course, he plays like five characters in Clerks, I think.
I think he's the one that's most famous for being Steve Dave, right?
Yeah. No, no.
No, he's Fanboy.
He's Fanboy. And Brian Johnson's Steve Dave.
Brian Johnson's
Steve Dave.
Yep.
But, and it's just, I don't know. Mallrats is so, it's so wacky. Like, you obviously know my number one also at this point, but like, I love the wacky. I got into it because of the Jay and Silent Bob. Like, I didn't realize the other content of the movies. I just knew, hey, there are these fun characters that show up in a bunch of movies when I originally hopped in. And it was like, oh, this is weird. They're like, they're not sequels. These movies aren't necessarily, like, they're a universe, not a series of sequels necessarily.
It's like real life, just people that, because you know Jim and Jim knows Bob, that these stories have a connection.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's, this movie is one of the ones that does switch actors where Willem is Scott Mosier in the first one, and he's name for My Name Is, that guy was in My Name Is Earl, right?
Ethan Suplee.
So I think Mallrats is, I love all the weird wacky, like whether it's the Batman thing and the gag twice of his head going through the wall while
Lauren Adams.
Yeah, when she's like changing or just like, I don't know, just they're all very 90s, except for the ones not shot in the 90s. But this is like is quintessential 90s comedy to me. Like it's like the comic book store and the mall and like there's a line about rebooting Dude, 70s stuff.
I miss the mall. I remember being a kid and the parents being like, all right, let's go to the mall and being stoked because not only was there a food court and a toy store, KB Toys at that time, it was the arcade, man. I miss the arcade. God, I would kill to go to an arcade today. I love video gaming. I was playing Final Fantasy XII, Zodiac Age before we started recording. That was a weird slip, wasn't it? Yes, we're recruiting people for LRMonline.com. Join us. Anyways, right before we were recording, and I love playing video games at home, but man, there was something so cool about being with either friends or maybe a parent, a sibling at an arcade, feeding quarters into a machine. So yeah, I do. I miss that kind of 90s. I was born in the mid 80s. My parents were big 80s fans, so I kind of mix with Generation X and the oldest millennials, but definitely. How were your 90s? You're a few years younger than me.
Yeah, I was 88, so I remember the 90s. I obviously wasn't old enough to be at the mall by myself in the 90s, but like, yeah, the mall was cool. Like the food court, like comic book shops still back then. I used to love by the time when I was a little older. Arcades were mostly gone, like middle school or even late elementary school. But we had a play. We had a chain called Nicola Play, where it was all you didn't even change it in for tokens. You changed in all your money for nickels. And yeah, it was just there's a lot of nostalgia, I guess, attached to this movie for me.
Definitely.
And like and just yeah, like Brody is like he's a geek's god character. Like he's like he's a geek, but he's cool. Like he well yeah yeah he's a great character.
Like me.
Yeah, not me.
I gotta know. Did you have a favorite arcade game? Something you wanted to see at every arcade?
I always liked the Ninja Turtles one.
The Turtles in Time?
I can't remember what it was called, honestly. But you know, like you had up to two. There's also an X-Men one I liked. Where you got up to four people.
Yes. I'm pretty certain it's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Turtles in Time, because that was one of my favorites. My other favorite was the rail shooter Area 51.
Yes.
I used to love playing rail shooters, and Area 51 was one of the best.
Well, it's funny because that's like that is the one that you see everywhere. Like
yes,
back then, even at a Pizza Hut, that no Pizza other games Hut, they'd have Area
bowling
51.
Alley. Yeah. And yep, and maybe that's why I liked it so much. That being said. I think it was the PS2 actually had a third person, maybe it was a first person shooter, Area 51 sequel. That was great. And I wish they'd kind of update that for the. Yeah, they did.
I remember it. I remember it. I didn't know if it was good or not. Okay. I think it was on PlayStation. I've been Nintendo my whole life until recently.
No, it was actually, I remember it fondly. I really do. But anyways, we're going to get off onto video games and, that's another LRM ranks thing that we might try in the future. So my number two, any last words for Mallrats?
Snoochy boochies. It's great. Bye, kitties.
So my number two is going to be Chasing Amy. If you notice, I like the more thoughtful movies. They're a little bit higher up on my list. Chasing Amy was an amazing, film experience for me. I was fairly young when I saw it. I saw it after Mallrats, after Clerks, after Dogma, after Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. So it was interesting to kind of go back and see how Kevin's thought process was different, even though he did Clerks and Mallrats, you know, relatively soon around Chasing Amy. The scene in the hockey arena and the scene where in the rain are two of the best scenes written for a romance movie. And I don't like romance movies. I really don't. I'm not a romance type guy. I'm very stereotypical male when it comes to rom-coms and chick flicks, if you will. But this movie, I guess because of the creative and comedic approach, it really worked for me. The scene where Joey Lauren Adams' character is singing, and God, what is her character's name? It's not Amy. Because Amy's the story that Kevin Smith tells.
Alyssa Jones?
Alyssa, thank you. God, man, sometimes brain just doesn't work. So when Alyssa's singing at the bar, and Holden thinks it's about him, but really it's about her girlfriend that's there. When it dawns on Banky, and he's like, it's great. It's great writing. It's great acting. It's one of the coolest scenes, and it's a pretty cool song. Joey Lauren Adams is a fairly decent actress, and there's something about her voice, even though it grades on some people like a Fran Drescher, in this movie it works, and I like it. So yeah, I put it high up because of enjoyment, the way it makes you think. Like you said, it's a very progressive movie. It touched on a lot of things that people are discussing over the last 10-15 years. It was ahead of its time.
Absolutely.
So any last words on Chasing Amy?
No. I mean, I think you touched on it more than I did about why it's so low on my list. It is a romantic comedy more than the other ones.
Yes.
And that is not my done right. I love one. And then obviously Chase Amy is one of my favorites because it's a Kevin Smith film.
Yeah.
But yeah, probably why it's so low on my list.
Oh, like I said, I usually don't like them, but there's just something about this one. It's not your standard romantic comedy by any means necessary, and not just because it deals with homosexuality and conversion,
it's
or
also Kevin Smith.
Or it's Kevin Smith.
Comic.
Absolutely, you know, you get shit like I blew him while Coey fucked me. You know, you get finger cuffs and shit in this. This is not the girlfriend rom-com that you take her to on your 6-week anniversary.
He's as good anymore, but Kevin Smith, I would even say up through Zach and Miri, he does sometimes write the male geek fantasy of a woman, but for most point, he's really good at writing strong female characters that sound like they talk like the
sound
guys,
like females.
But yeah, they say filthy stuff too. But as we've seen in recent comedies, now that more women are making and starring in them entirely, women do talk like the guys. It's like they're not all polite and stuff. When you get like a group of women together, they're just saying the female equivalent. So and just even in general, he fleshes out his women in a way a lot of his contemporaries don't.
I think it's Paul Feig or Feig that tried to and Judd Apatow that tried and said, both of them I think said at some point they were inspired by Kevin Smith and the View Askew movies. I personally don't care for Paul or Judd for the majority of their movies. I'm one of those that thinks that Knocked Up was one of the stupidest films ever made. But you can hate me for that later. Chasing Amy, yeah, number two for me. So let's go ahead and continue on, Nick, to our number one films from the View Askewverse. Go ahead.
Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. It's the Avengers, man. It's got Ben Affleck playing two different characters and Jason Lee playing two different characters and Chris Rock playing a brand new character. It's hilarious. It built it's like Infinity War. It doesn't work by itself. Like, you have to understand like this world and stuff, and it's kind of just all payoff. There's not really much character development. It's just one bit. He calls it his Looney Tunes. It's a live action cartoon. Here's the payoff of just like, who would want to see a movie about those stupid characters? And everyone like looking at the camera when he's having that discussion with Affleck. It's like, here's the pulse. Here's your finger far removed from the pulse and up your asshole.
Would you like a chocolate covered pretzel?
Yeah. It's just all, I don't know. I love seeing those characters return. Even if it's only like 3 minutes of Brody, like, you know, all of it is, and just Tracy Jordan's even role is like when they meet him. And of course, Suzanne, it's a direct sequel to Mallrats with Suzanne the monkey. It's got Will Ferrell in a major role. It's John Stewart does that, the whole Click Commander, like news story where he's like, where he has to play it straight. And he's like, we don't know much about the clit at this point. Like, where's J.J.
I am the Click Commander. I make that shit my bitch. Oh my God, it is. It's fucking hilarious movie. So I love it.
So yeah, it's it's my favorite because, yeah, it's just, it's also, I would also call it my favorite stoner film, if I had to say that. Like, I would go to it before I'd go to, like, Harold and Kumar or Cheech and Chong or any of the other ones, like, or Seth Rogen. I go straight for Jay and Silent Bob if I want a stoner film.
It's great. I mean, the whole bong saber, the bong saber effect is actually a badass effect.
And hey, kids, it's Mark Hamill. Smoky stuff.
Yes. Why did I call you cock knocker? Oh, you see, it's a funny story. You'll find it here. Well, let me show you. And he punches him right in the fucking nuts.
When his hand gets cut off, and he's like, not again.
Yeah, not again. Oh, man. Hey, you know what I love in comedy? And Kevin Smith is good for it. The guys that work on Futurama and The Simpsons are good for it. Self-deprecation. I love self-deprecation. Oh, yeah. It is a great form of comedy. I'll give that to Al Gore mentioning The Simpsons and Futurama several times. Former Vice President Al Gore, Emperor of the Moon. Or no, he was Emperor of the Moon and inventor of the internet.
Yeah.
President Al Gore, Vice President Al Gore. He's got self-deprecation jokes on Futurama and The Simpsons, which I love. And that's one of Mark Hamill's things as well. He's very, very capable of taking some of his earlier roles lightly, which I love that.
And that movie, I think, also has Wes Craven and Gus Van Sant in it. Like Gus Van Sant, because my favorite scene in any Kevin Smith movie is Good Will Hunting 2 hunting scene.
Yes.
How do you like them apples? Well, I don't like the sound of them apples, Will.
I don't like that at all. It is a great movie. It's fun. It just, when it comes time for me to say I want to watch a Kevin Smith film, it's one of the last ones I want to watch. But it, like we've said from the get-go, none of this is us. The title of this video is not ranking worst to best. It's just... like we said, maybe the ones you want to watch the most. Yeah. So, any last words on your number one?
No, it's one of my favorite movies. Like, it's a top 25 movie for me too overall. So.
Really? Okay. Oh, cool. Yeah.
It's one of my favorite comedies.
Well, if you've been keeping check or you've been looking at, I'm not sure how I've got the things, but if you've been looking at our running list, you'll notice the only one left off of mine is Clerks 2. Nick's number six is my number one.
Clerks 2 is your favorite.
Yes.
I thought that's one we would agree on.
No, I loved Clerks 2. From the time it was announced, I was against it until I finally saw it. And when I went and saw it in theaters with a couple of friends, blown away by how great it was. Because first and foremost, I had no expectations for this movie. To be honest, I thought Kevin, because Kevin is usually, and I know some of it's satire, but is usually pretty honest about how much he loves attention. He loves the camera and he loves making money. Stuff like Cop Out, for example. That's not a knock against him at all, because he still gets to put his artistic twist on everything. But I honestly thought somebody at the studio was like, hey, let's go make some more money, Kevin. Do Clerks 2. No, this was a passion for him. And you can see it in the movie. Everything from the way it begins with the quick stop burning down to fast forwarding sometime after, and you get introduced to Movies, which is a throwback to a movie from Dogma and the infamous boardroom scene. It's great. The introductions of both Elias and Rosario Dawson's characters are great. Elias is a hilarious, I guess he's sort of an antithesis of Jeff Anderson's Randall. And he plays so well. He did such a great job playing such a, not even a beta male, dude. That guy is batshit nuts and doesn't even register on the alpha male scale at all.
What is Mr. Pillow Pants?
Lister Fiend and Pillow Pants. That's yeah, Lister Fiend and Pillow Pants. The mouth troll and the pussy troll. Yes. Oh my god. And Randall's reaction when Elias is telling the story is just like straight up fear. Plus they used King Diamond in this movie. So way to go for that. King Diamond, awesome death metal guy. Some of the evil, like raising Satan out of the middle of your living room for music. Even though he sings in falsetto, go check out King Diamond. It is a blast of a movie. And then you get to the heartfelt scene at the end in jail. And
after Kinky Kelly.
After Kinky Kelly.
And the stud.
Not again. Gotta finish. Oh my God. And I think I remember watching the extras. That guy is like one of the crew members for Kevin Smith. I think he does lighting or sound or something like that. You know, it's interspecies erotica, fucker. It's great. Yeah. But you get to that jailhouse scene and Dante and Randall have their heart to heart. And I love the part where Jay's like, hey, Bob, Silent Bob, this is your moment. And here you're expecting something, which I will say, I'm a sucker for the Clerks line. There's a million looking fine women in the world, dude, but they don't all bring you lasagna at work. Most of them just cheat on you. I love that line. So here you go, Clerks 2. You're expecting something on that level. And he's just like, I got nothing. I loved it. I loved it. Clerks 2 is by far the most enjoyable combination of some thoughtfulness of where people are at in their lives, what happens when you don't really launch, what happens when you're not moving on, you're stuck in that rut, and just dick and fart jokes. You know, you got the whole ass to mouth thing, you know, the whole ass to mouth running gag. Rosario Dawson saying every now and then in the passion of the moment, it's okay to go ass to mouth is just hilarious. It's an over the top movie that should have never worked, and I love every waking minute of it.
Cool.
So
you've talked me into it.
any last words on Clerks 2?
Well, I think it even speaks. It probably speaks a little bit more to you because you're just a few years older, and you had that distance between seeing Clerks and Clerks 2. Whereas I saw them in the same week, reverse order. Where like there is that feeling of like, where am I supposed to be 10 years later? Am I in the right place? And then I love at the end they decide they need to go back to the quick stop rather than even progressing past movies. They belong, like they are. Yeah, they're slackers, but like that's Kevin Smith characters used to be that be slackers back in the day. So I don't know. Yeah, it is like a sweet finish too. I'm sad they didn't make the third one because one of the actors didn't agree to do it.
And they didn't do Mallrats 2 either, which I was actually more excited for Mallrats 2 than I was Clerks
3. Oh, yeah, especially since I think Mallrats 2 in its last form was a TV show. And I'm like, that would work great as like a Netflix show or something. Like, give me like 30-minute episodes or whatever. But yeah, because you wanted to do Clerks 3 because, these are like, they're supposed to be set a movie about their guys in their early 20s, early 30s, and then early 40s. Like, what does change and what remains constant? So for that reason, I like... It's funny that our lists are the same in the middle, otherwise inverted. Yep. But
hey, man, you know, I absolutely love doing these with you. Every now and then, me and you agree a lot. There's other times where me and you drastically differ. And either way, it's a good conversation. So that's kind of what I'm hoping to do with these Ranks It videos is have a conversation. And of course, not just between me and Nick or me and Jammer or whoever's doing the videos with me, but us and you guys, the audience, definitely join in, both in the comments on the website at lrmonline.com and in the comments below this video if you're watching it in YouTube. Tell us what your rankings are. Tell us what you think about our rankings. Yell at us, hate us, love us. Let's have a conversation because, let's face it, we're all geeks in and on this, and it's great to talk to people that are like-minded, even if the opinions vary slightly differently. Nick, any last words on the Kevin Smith View Askewverse, View Askewniverse? I want to say it's View Askewniverse because I got it actually written down as with an N in it. Well, I think I might have gotten that from YouTube, or not YouTube, but Wikipedia. But anyways, go ahead. Any last words on Kevin Smith's films?
Like I said, Kevin Smith is really important to me. Like, he was my lifeline for a few years, I'd even say. His humor, both the films and the podcast, during some of my loneliest times in my early 20s. So I'm really thankful he didn't die this year.
Yes.
I love his stuff. I continue to enjoy some of his stuff. And just like, I love that. Yeah, I'm sure there are others people would call universes, but this is kind of the first cinematic universe, the modern cinematic universe. And he used Loki in it first. So
not a Norse Loki, but a Loki nonetheless.
Loki from the Bible.
Any words, just in case, let's pretend for a moment that the great Kevin Smith would see this video. What would you say to him?
Just keep doing what you're doing, man. I mean, I know you know this, but you've made a big impact on a lot of people's lives. Just like, yeah, you're an inspiration. And I'd still like to see Mallrats 3 if you could make it, but get on that Jay and Silent Bob reboot. Cannot wait. He had like, I know we'll be posting this later, but yes, when we recorded this, I think he had his physical for that this week or last week. Yes. He put on Twitter, so we might be getting close to a sequel to my favorite Kevin Smith film.
Yeah.
So
for those of you that don't know what Nick is talking about, is we are we always record a couple weeks in advance, so that way there's some built-in flex time. It's the magic of doing things in a professional manner, I guess you could say. But yeah, definitely. This has been a blast. I would just say thank you to Kevin for everything you've done for people like us, and just to keep kicking ass and taking names and making us laugh, man.
King of the geeks.
So thank you guys so much for tuning in again. Make sure you do click the like, the share, the website, share that. You know, we got those buttons up at the top of the web pages on YouTube. Click the bell, subscribe. Make sure you guys check us out every Thursday here at LRM Rankset and all the other great things that we plugged earlier. We won't plug them again, but Nick, tell them where they can find you online.
At LRM _Nick on Twitter. And please tell your friends about us. We need your friends to watch us too.
Yes. And you can find me at That Kyle Malone on Twitter. Thank you guys so much one more time. And tune in next week. We'll see you then. Have a good one.
Adios.